following message is from Christian Life Austin. For more information about Christian Life, visit clcaustin.com. Thank you for listening.
I want to talk to you today about some things I've learned about prayer. I promise you this will not be a boring message, because most of the time when people preach about works of the flesh or prayer, people say, oh God, you're going to talk about prayer, Jesus, oh God. Stay with me. I promise you, you'll be awake and you'll walk out of here feeling better than you felt when you walked in. Say, Pastor, preach to us today. Let the word touch my mind. Let it change my mind. Preach to us today. Let the word touch my heart. Let it change my heart. Preach to us today. Let me leave here a better person than I was when I came in. And before you're seated, give my sweet wife a great hand of appreciation. I love Patty. And you may be seated. Luke chapter 18 is the chapter and the verse I want to start with. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." And for some times he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me." He must have picked something up in that widow that she was pretty fierce and forceful. And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Some things I've learned about prayer. Two 12-year-old boys broke a window one day playing baseball out in the street, and they hit a ball into the neighborhood and broke a window. And they looked around to see if anybody had seen them. They saw no one except for one's little brother, And they went to him and offered him a piece of candy, not to tell. He was very young. He refused. And the older brother said, "I'll give you my baseball." He said, "No, I don't want your baseball." And the other friend said, "What about my new glove?" He said, "No, I don't want that glove either." And they said, "Well, what do you want?" He said resolutely, "I want to tell somebody." It's hard to negotiate with little brothers sometimes. It's also hard to deal with a hard-hearted judge. Had she been a ball player, this widow in Luke 18 would have been called out on strikes even before she came to bat. Strike one, she was a woman. In biblical world, women were expected to know their place, but she makes a place. Strike two, she's a widow. Any status she might have had had disappeared with the death of her husband. No intercessor in her stead. Strike three, she's poor. Her opponent, a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. And his motivation was money, and she had none. And the judge could not be charmed. Here's my assumption. He was a Gentile. If he had been a man of faith, a Jewish person, he would have cared more for his race. See, the biblical worldview, one can't have regard for God without regard for God's people. Can I get an amen on that? If you love God, you ought to love the people in this house. The poor widow proves to be a heroine. She's a shero, for she had dogged persistence. She wanted the judge to hear her case, so she keeps at him, badgering and pestering and bothering and showing up every day until he hears her case, just to get rid of her. And Jesus told this parable to emphasize the need to pray always and not lose heart. Hear me. God is not like some godless judge who only answers prayers to be done with us. That defies logic. And how could God be godless? He can't. The point is that if a persistent woman has her case heard by a lousy judge, then how much more likely will a loving God hear our prayers? Can you give that God a hand clap? Not me, but Him. Jesus teaches persistence in prayer. We need that word in our vocabulary. Why is persistence in prayer so important? Plain and simple. Because we become easily discouraged if we feel our prayers are not answered. Can I get a witness there? Meeting people who do pray without ceasing is a rare treat. I read about two Orthodox monks who were traveling with a group of tourists following the journeys of Paul in Greece. And these were unusual Orthodox monks because their monastery was in the Silicon Valley of California. The Silicon Valley, ladies and gentlemen, is not usually cited as a hotbed of Orthodox monasteries. And the two monks shared with their fellow passenger calling, they said, "We're men of prayer." And they were asked, "Why don't you do something more productive?" The answer, isn't prayer productive? And nobody wanted to answer that. Think about it. We persist in what we believe in. We work out. You know why? Because we want to be the next Atlas. The next strongest man in the world. Convinced it will shape us up. We eat Bluebell ice cream. Convinced it's going to put a barrel on us, not a belt. We study convinced our knowledge will grow. We keep records because we think the IRS will demand them, and one day they will. You better have them. Is it possible that our inability to continue at prayer is because we are not convinced that prayer really makes much difference? Let me declare, prayer does make a difference. Oswald Chambers says, and I want you to put this on your refrigerator, prayer does not equip us for some greater works. Prayer is the greater work. If you've ever applauded for prayer, you need to do it right now. Prayer works. Let me give you some things about prayer. First, this is what prayer is not. Ladies and gentlemen, prayer is not magic. It's not magic. Author Tony Campolo is one of my favorite authors to read, and I love to hear him speak. He tells of his 7-year-old son preparing for bed one night, and just before going upstairs, he said to his family, "Hey, I'm going to bed. I'm going to be praying. Anybody want anything?" Who wouldn't like prayer to be like that? A shopping trip, a cart, a prayer basket. A list of things we want God to do for us. And then at the checkout lane, God would bag up all of our prayers and load them in the back of our trunks and tell us to have a nice day and tap on the car and say, "You can drive off now." If prayer was magic, we couldn't help but have a nice day. But we confuse prayer with magic. See, magic is an attempt to manipulate supernatural powers so we can get what we want. Prayer is spiritual surrender so that we can become instruments of God's divine will. You know, in the third commandment, it says simply, go ahead, that's fine, go ahead. In the third commandment, this is what it says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." And often we associate that to swearing and cursing, but it's more than that. The New Revised Standard Version said, "You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God." We pray in Jesus' name. We are praying that what we pray for is within the spirit of Jesus to answer. Ladies and gentlemen, God is not to be used. God is the ultimate end and not the means to some other end. Prayer is not magic, but prayer is powerful. Secondly, what prayer is not. Prayer is not reward for being particularly good or spiritual. God does not grant the prayers of spiritual folks while ignoring the prayers of us regular folks. I fit in that category. In an imperfect world, it's often the good folks who pay the price for being good. I love the story told about a man who was stopped by Peter at the pearly gates. Peter told him, "Not so fast, my friend. We've got a new policy here at the gate now. You have to tell us that you've done some very good deeds on earth." And the man said, "I've done a good deed." He said, "I once saw a gang of skinheads, bikers, picking on a little old lady about 85 years old. And I went up to their leader and told him he ought to pick on someone his own side. I punched him in the stomach, hit him upside the head, and kicked over his Harley." Peter was impressed. He said, "That was a good deed. When did this happen?" He said, "Oh, about 3 minutes ago." I laughed every time when I got that. I laughed and laughed. Prayer is not a reward for being good. Sometimes the very best people pay for doing good. Just ask Job. He didn't get a reward for being good. He got pain. And thirdly, prayer is not totally understandable. I totally, honestly, ladies and gentlemen, believe in miracles. Anybody here believe in miracles? Anybody seen a miracle? I have seen a man in this church that's been here for a long time that came to me several years ago and he had Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS. We prayed for him and God healed him. He came back to church the next Sunday doing this, raising his hands. He couldn't even get his hands up here. And the doctor said, I don't know what it is, but you got something, buddy. You're better. You're over this. He come back later, and he had prostate cancer, and we prayed for that, and is gone. He came back the other day, and he said, I've got cancer in the pancreas. God's going to be 3 for 3 for me. And I believe that. I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. So I continue to pray for miracles, but I've also experienced the frustration of innocent, great people needlessly suffering and dying. And that tears me up. It also tears me up. I read something Mother Teresa said. She felt no one has seen the innocent suffer more than she has in her country of India. And I find myself in partial agreement with two of her statements. She said, when I see God, he's got a lot of explaining to do. And she said, God would have a lot more friends if God treated the ones he does have a little bit better. In spite of the mystery of prayer, ladies and gentlemen, we continue to pray. I many times pray for that which God is already fully aware of. God doesn't need this pastor to present a list of who's in the hospital or whose marriage is in trouble or who has financial crisis or what person has fallen and broken their leg. Yet I still keep letting God know all of this, for it links me with God's creativity and God's workmanship, because he is a miracle worker. Maybe God needs to know he has plenty of friends. Is anybody a friend of God in this house? I have a question for you. Is prayer some kind of crutch? Of course it is. Well, what's wrong with crutches? If you have ever broken a bone, then you understand the importance of splints and casts, but you also understand that crutches can hold the weight off of that so your bone will heal. So it is with prayer. Prayer holds us in a place so that God's healing power can take place in our lives. Prayer is not magic, folks. It's not a reward, and it's not totally understandable. But I'm going to conclude today with, there's four things that prayer is, and I want you to write these down, put them on your refrigerator. This refrigerator stuff right here. Prayer always changes people, even when it doesn't always change circumstances. Write that down. One man stated, when we clasp our hands in prayer, it's the beginning of an uprising against disorder in this world. When we lift our hands in prayer, we become the recipients of God's grace. Prayer always, always changes people. You cannot pray and walk out of a house and not feel better about your God. You cannot pray in a church and walk out of the house of God and not believe that God helps us with our prayers. He changes our lives. He really, really does. We lift our hands. Prayer changes people. Every prayer evokes change. No prayer, say it with me, no prayer is ever wasted. I heard of a church, knew about a church that was struggling with some difficult issues over a particular situation. It was polarizing the people. There was all kinds of factions of what they believed about a certain thing. But rather than hold a debate or a panel discussion, they made it their focus to be on prayer. So 200 people showed up to pray one night until people were spiritually led to share what was on their hearts. And there was a lot of forgiveness, and there was a lot of hugging. There was a lot of, I'm sorry. There was a lot of blessings going around. The guidance of prayer led their hearts to be changed enough that they could lovingly listen to each other and solve the problem. Ladies and gentlemen, prayer changes things. It changes things. The second thing I know about prayer is that prayer helps us accept our lot. Our lot in life, or we call it the hand that has been dealt. Prayer helps us with that. None of us can control what happens around us, but with prayer, we can influence how we react to what happens to us. In prayer, we find the strength to quit fighting that which can't be changed and start asking the better question, now that this has happened, what can I do? A few years ago, a pastor was preaching in a particular church. And while he was preaching on miracles and healing, and he said, I just feel like praying for the sick today. All that are sick, would you come? And there was a man with cancer that was there, and he came up, and the pastor anointed him with oil and prayed for him. And a few days later, the man's wife called the preacher that had been their guest speaker, and she wanted the man to know, the pastor to know, that her husband had passed. And the pastor was discouraged by the news. We all would be. I've been there. But the wife added that his prayers were not in vain. She said, for the last few years, her husband had been bitter over his diagnosis, and he was having horrible day after horrible day. But after the prayer, the man found real peace. His last few days of life were the happiest he'd ever spent. And then she said, Pastor, he wasn't cured, but he was healed. Sometimes you just have to accept your lot. There's a lot of this stuff going on in churches. I wished I had their life. I wished I had their life. No, why don't you go ahead and just live your life? Because all of us were created by the same God. And the last time I checked, he doesn't make any junk. And he doesn't make any mistakes. He's a God that does all things well. And no matter what your lot in life is or the hand that's been dealt you, go ahead and keep worshiping him in prayer. Clasp your hands and say, I'm going to walk on with God. And walk out of here today saying, I'm going to make prayer my daily event. The third thing that prayer offers is assurance. Oh, these are good stuff. This is good stuff. Consider again the woman in Jesus' parable. All she wanted was a judge to hear her case. We all want our prayers heard. But we all go back to Daniel and understand he had to wait 21 days for the angel to fight another angel to get the word to him that God had heard his prayer. But ladies and gentlemen, this is not Daniel's day. This is post-Calvary. And Jesus has ascended and opened up a portal for us from here to the third heaven. And we've got a direct access to him. You call on his name now, he hears you right now. And when he hears you, he will answer you. Now, sometimes it may not be yes, it may be no, it may be maybe, but I promise you, God knows what you're praying right now. You need to rejoice over that because we're living on the right side of the cross. We want our prayers heard. That's the assurance. We want the assurance that God loves us. He'll stay with us through the dark moments as well as the good moments. Charles Dickens has always been one of my favorite authors to read. I love his stuff. And then when they started making movies about it, I watched all the Dickens movies I could watch. And one of them's called Bleak House. And there's a little boy named Little Joe who becomes ill with tuberculosis. And the doctor, the young physician visits the lad, and his name is Dr. Woodcourt. And during the course of their conversation, the doctor asked the boy if he knows how to pray. And the lad had no religious background whatsoever. He confesses he knows nothing about prayer. Woodcourt then asks Little Joe to repeat the Lord's Prayer with him. And the physician begins, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And Little Joe repeats the words and then stops. He seems unable to go on, but then Woodcourt hears him say over and over again, Our Father, our Father, our Father, our Father, our Father. Then Little Joe sums up his feelings like this. That was very good, sir. That was very good. I like that. Little Joe got the assurance that he needed. Prayer does that for us. It offers assurance. If you don't know the Lord's Prayer, go home and just start calling out Our Father. Our Father. I promise you it'll change you. We had some beautiful people from South Africa in the first service. And I was invited to a house yesterday. I was invited to a house yesterday because South Africa played New Zealand in the rugby championship of the world. Now, we wouldn't know much about those championships here in Austin. nor in Texas, because if you're a Cowboy fan or a Houston Oil or a Texan fan, we don't know a lot about that. But they watched the South African team beat the New Zealand team yesterday, and Dr. Clint invited me to the house to come over and rejoice with them. So I got there at the end of the game, and when I walked in, it didn't matter if I was the Lord Jesus. They're saying, ha, 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 ha. They're going crazy. They're going nuts. And so they were in service today. And so one of them kind of lingered in the second service because he wanted to wait on Clint. Clint helped me greet today. And so I saw him as the praise team was singing. Here's a guy. I don't know what he knows about Jesus, but he was out there standing up against the wall in the entrance right here. And he's about 6'5", and he's an ex-rugby player, and he could knock my head off right now. And he was over there in tears just running down his face. It don't matter the size. It matters the heart. And God offers assurance for our heart. He is there. He'll always be there. And I congratulate South Africa. I really, really do. And I wish Texas would learn from them. And the Cowboys. Let me close. The fourth thing I want to talk to you about is that prayer promises that God intercedes when our prayers are inadequate. God intercedes. Scripture reminds us that we don't need to know how to pray as long as we do pray. The disciples asked the Lord one day, teach us to pray. They walked with him and didn't know how to pray. It's all right to not know how to pray. You just need to do it. His name is Jesus. He's eternal. He's here for us. He wants to help you. You don't have a friend like Jesus. There's no other friend like Jesus. Oh, but you don't know my wife. You don't know my husband. Oh, but I know Jesus. And there's nobody better than Jesus. And you need to connect with Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is the answer. Reminds me, we don't need to know how to pray as long as we do pray. Paul said the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. A marvelous example of this happened in 1932. A composer's wife had died while she was giving birth, and a few days later the baby also died. And the composer was heartbroken, and he said to his piano, thinking about the hymn, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me." And all of a sudden, he started modulating chords and changing the key, and he felt an inspiration of the Spirit. And Tommy Dorsey wrote this right on the back of that, "Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on and let me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, and I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home." I've sung that song because my lot was tough one day. I've sung that song. Tommy Dorsey, though a man, is the widow in the Jesus parable. He just kept praying and kept asking, and God gave him assurance, the assurance that he had an advocate who listens and who intercedes. I'm going to put it on the screen. I want you to say it with me. Jesus is my advocate. I have an advocate. Before he ascended to heaven, he said he would send his Holy Spirit. He'd send a comforter. The Greek word there is paraclete, one that comes alongside. A paraclete's like a friend walking beside you. You remember when you was in grade school, guys and girls, and you had some little buddies, third or fourth grade, and you all walk through the playground like this with your arms around each other? It was like three's better than one. Don't mess with him, you get us. We wasn't gangsters, but we thought we were. But we had friends. I'm telling you, you've got somebody named Jesus that'll walk beside you right now. Right now. Right now. And this advocate never deserts us. I close with the words of H. Jackson Brown, who wrote this. In the confrontation between the stream and the stream always wins. Not through strength, but through persistence. I tell the story of a man who was dying in the hospital, and before he was dying in the hospital, he used to go by the church every day, and he would go to the altar and pray, and he'd say, "Jesus, it's Jim, and I don't know how to talk to you, but I'm here to tell you, I hope you have a good day, and I want a good day," and he'd leave. "Jesus, it's Jim," the next day, and so he's in the hospital, and things wasn't going good, and one day the door opened, and a man walked in. And the man looked at him and he said, "Jim, this is Jesus and I'm here. And I heard every time you asked me about me." And he walked out and Jim walked out of the hospital healed. What I'm telling you is that if you just become a steady prayer person, the advocate, the Spirit of God will come and walk by you. He'll be your paraclete. He'll be your companion. I got 3 minutes. I read an intriguing story about a visiting pastor being in a worship service where a man prayed a pointed prayer for a friend. He said, "Dear Lord," as he prayed, "you know Charlie Stofitz. He lives in that silver trailer down the road a mile. He's leaving his wife and his kids, Jesus. Please do something to bring the family together." Amazingly, the man prayed. He repeated the location. "It's that silver trailer about a mile down the way." And the pastor wanted to say, "Knock it off, man. Don't you think Jesus knows where that trailer house is?" And after the prayer, the visiting pastor preached and then left to drive home. And on the turnpike, he had never done it, but he noticed a hitchhiker and decided to give him a lift. And the man got in the car and he said, "My name's Anthony. What's yours?" He said, "Charlie Stofitz." The hitchhiker said, the pastor was dumbfounded. It was the young man for whom the prayer had been offered. The pastor got off the next exit and the hitchhiker said, "Hey, where are you taking me?" And he said, "I'm taking you home." The hitchhiker stared in amazement as the pastor drove right up to the young man's silver trailer. That day, the pastor who had preached in that service said, "The best sermon I preached was to two people and I led their lives to Jesus Christ that day." And they stayed together and now they're pastoring a church. That's what happens when you bring prayer into the equation. Don't forget, simple prayers are powerful. Pat Ford wrote in Yahoo Sports in 2018 about a young man named Tua Tagovailoa. Tua was a freshman. He was on the bench behind another player. And one day in a game, that player wasn't doing the job. It was in a championship game, and so they pulled him and they put this freshman in named Tua. And he passed Alabama to the victory. He threw a beautiful bomb to a kid named Smith. And Alabama beat Georgia in a comeback. And the question was, how in the name of Bear Bryant did a freshman bench jockey rise to this ridiculously pressurized occasion and become an instant hero? And Tua said, "I was praying the whole game. And I was praying in my prayer language." Only he called it speaking in tongues. He said, "It kept me calm. I prayed before every possession. I prayed after every possession." And he prayed until he got on the field and passed and scrambled his way to Alabama lower. He said, "My poise comes from my faith. I just prayed for peace." Let me let you go here today by saying, hey, why don't you just start praying for peace every morning? The world's chaotic. The world's in trouble. Jerusalem needs peace. Pray for them and then get back to you. We need to pray for peace. We need to pray for Austin to have peace. We need to pray for Austin to have souls find Jesus. We need the peace of God in Austin, Texas. It's an awesome thing to pray for peace. Prayer does not equip us for some greater works. Prayer is the greater work. I love all of you. I'm so glad I made it through without crying today. Prayer messes with me. We start our 21 days of prayer the 1st of January, and I want you to put it on your calendar. The greatest way to start your new year is come to prayer. We pray for 21 straight days. It'll be the most exciting prayer meetings you've ever been in your life. And you'll walk out of here saying, I'm convinced I'm going to make this a habit in my life. And you can do it. Turn to your neighbor and say, he loves you. You know that? Turn to your neighbor and say, well, he loves you too. Now I'm going to say it. I love all of you. I love all of you. And thanks for letting me be back in the pulpit today. Thank you. Thank you. I love you. Would you stand? Please, nobody leave. We're fixing to walk out of here. Please, nobody leave. Please, let's pray together. Let's pray together. Say it with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. 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 Now let me bless you. Join hands with your wife, your husband, your significant other. Let me bless you. Let me bless you. Lord, it feels good to be up here talking to you again. Father, I love these people, and I just barely scratch the surface of how much you love them. Lord, thank you for their lives and their devotion. They came to church in the rain today. We didn't have church Wednesday night. They didn't quit the church. They showed up in mass today. Thank you for that. Thank you for people in this house that love this house. And Lord, I want these people to learn how to pray, how to call on your name, how to say, Lord, I need you. I need that reassurance. I'm holding a bad hand, but I need that reassurance that you're going to walk with me. You're going to be with me. You're going to be my alongside partner. There's nobody like you, Jesus. Now, I bless you. And I honor you, and I thank you for these people. And I thank you for the power of prayer and for the joy of knowing you in that power of prayer. For it's in Christ's name I pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Wednesday night we're back in church. Apologize for last Wednesday night. The rain messed us up. We love you. Have a great day. Go home and enjoy your day. See you Wednesday night. God bless you.
What an amazing service. On behalf of our pastoral team, leadership team, and staff, we want to thank you for tuning in to Christian Life Austin online. We pray that this service remains in your heart and helps lead you to your next steps on your faith journey. And we want to take a moment to allow you the opportunity to give your life to Jesus. If you've never made that choice before, whether you're watching us in your living room, your kitchen, or on vacation, we know that Jesus will meet you right where you are. Romans 10 and 9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And if you want salvation today, it's as simple but as powerful as confessing Jesus as Lord of your life and having faith that God raised him from the dead. So let's take a moment right here and right now to pray together. Would you join me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for this day and for this time. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that there are hearts that are hungry for more of you and that are looking, God, to take their next step. So right now, we pray that this prayer be the next step in people's lives today. God, we repent of all of our sins. We are sinners saved by grace. So Lord, cleanse us and wash us and purify us, God, of all of our sins. God, we confess with our mouth that you are the Lord of our life. From this day forward, we are putting you first as Lord of our life. God, we acknowledge and we understand that you died, that you were buried, and that you rose again. Lord, we thank you for what you did for us on Calvary. Lord Jesus, from this day forward, we are putting you first and we're putting our trust in you, Lord. We thank you for all the life change that is happening right here and now. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Wow, congratulations to all of you who made the decision to give your life to Jesus. All of heaven is celebrating with you. And hey, we're celebrating with you too. But no, this is only step one. We want you to know that you're not alone on this walk, and we're not leaving you to figure it out by yourself. We want to partner with you as you walk through our core values, which is know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives of others. We would love to help you take your next step, whether that's through water baptism or joining a life group or getting plugged in serving through Growth Track. We have everything you need to make this process easy, accessible, and applicable to you and your life. No matter what stage of life you're in, you are somebody at Christian Life Austin, and you are somebody to the kingdom of heaven. We want to know what your next step is, and we want to hear from you if you gave your life to Jesus today. Please click the link in the description so we can get connected with you. Again, thank you for tuning in, and we cannot wait to see you in person at Christian Life Austin.